Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
And welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by that bitch, Tempest.
So, what's going on here? This is like my first day back after a week off. Pete's gone. You're his manservant. Did you think that as soon as my LIW partner ditched town, you could just saddle me with watching Raw? I'm welcome back with having to watch Raw. What's going on here, Ollie?
You were the first choice after Laurie, who's busy playing video games and recording No Rolls Barred content. You're the first choice. Surely I should go to the main man, the Quizzlemania champion, the longest ever running Quizzlemania champion, in kind of the same way that Dean Ambrose is the longest running United States champion by just not defending the title ever.
Hey, I like with that. You,
with respect. With respect.
I like that title run. I wanted him to be the longest running champion. They lost to like Kofi Kingston or something.
Mm. Oh, man. Everyone always does, apart from Kofi, who loses to bigger fish.
No, he loses it to Dolph Ziggler or Wade Barrett or The Miz. That's my general rule of thumb. If you don't know who a mid-card champion is anytime from like 2010 to 2015, it's one of those four guys. It's The Miz, Kofi, Dolph, or Wade. That's it.
This is the inside scoop on how you actually became the Quizzlemania champion by educated guesses?
Sometimes.
Well, there was that fantastic back and forth between you and Sean Ross Sapp where you did... Were you just guessing... Inoki or who's the other one?
Well, most likely it was just Inoki over and over and over again. No, the G1 climax thing, of course, we were right in the middle of the G1 climax when we did that. So it was very fresh in my mind listening to Kevin Kelly and Chris Charlton talk about it every single day. But if I tried to do that right now, I would be confident I could get probably about halfway with no prep, but at the time, it was definitely like, oh yeah, Inoki, Sakaguchi, Inoki again, over and over and over again. That kind of thing does just exist in my mind.
And you took a whole week off last week, I presume, to just watch G1 content.
Oh, how the times have changed. I watched so little wrestling last week during my week off. It was fantastic. Genuinely, the only wrestling that I watched, that I went out of my way to watch, was like Dynamite. Mm-hmm. That was it. I watched SmackDown and Rampage because I had to review it on the podcast. But otherwise, Dynamite was the only bit of wrestling that I watched. I have watched one show from the G1 since the start of the tournament, and I have not gone back to it since.
You see, Luke is the opposite. He's been off for 3.5 weeks now on paternity leave. And he is always texting me, my daughter really enjoyed Enter Match Here. I'm like, did she enjoy it? Or is she just, you know, being a baby that doesn't understand what's happening around it? She probably smiled, but was she smiling at the intricacies of the match? I doubt it.
No,
it, Luke.
I have to believe that this baby was so blown away by the excellence of Bryan Danielson and Minoru Suzuki that she was forced to crack a smile.
Mm. Luke rang me yesterday.
Oh.
First time I've spoken to him since the baby was born. And we had a little chat. I met Manny's daughter via the video call. And I was like, are you always in this position? Because I feel like you've seen the photographs. Every photograph we get sent, he's in the same position on the same chair. And he was in it was like one of those pictures just came to life Harry Potter style and started talking to me. Yeah, he was doing well. The baby, I can confirm, is cute. It's a cute baby.
Yeah.
Which
I'd be concerned if she wasn't.
Well, not all babies are lookers. Have you ever had to say to a friend, oh, it's, yeah, lovely baby you've got there. And inside you're thinking, man, this is not a pretty baby.
My brother was not a cute baby. I'll be perfectly honest. Like, we were looking through old pictures at one point, and you know, you're just kind of going, and we pulled out a picture of newborn little Tempest brother. And I just went, whoa. I didn't try and hide it. I was like, not your best work, Dad. He looks fine now, but he was not the cutest baby, I will be perfectly honest.
He grew into the looks.
He did. He absolutely did.
We have a Raw to talk about, unfortunately. So I guess here is the show. Was a really good match, wasn't it? Charlotte Flair versus Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship, main event of the show. It's gone 20 minutes. It's been built up in the opening segment and throughout the night. Oh no, what's Charlotte doing there? Why are they looking into the corner so much? Towards the timekeeper's area. Is there something wrong? The clock's going down. They don't have time limit draws here. Oh no. Oh, dear God, no. Oh, God, it's a DQ finish, Tempest. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Tempest. We're reviewing this week's Raw. But first, let me tell you about how goddamn soft my skin is right now. Holy Christ, if you could reach through the screen right now and touch my face, you would be going, is this a face of an adult, a human adult man, or that of a baby's bottom? Because it is so moisturized and soft. Here's geology. Look, this is a ring-worn geology box by me. It's got a stain on. Geology are a service where you do a little free quiz. It takes about 30 seconds. You can get your own customized bespoke skincare range sent to you. So you've got like little regimens to use. I've got my morning day cream there, and I've got my nourishing nighttime eye cream and face moisturizer for the evening. They're color-coded, very helpful. And honestly, both me and Luke have been using it for about 2 months now, and I don't get flaky beard draft anymore, which is nice. Do you get this?
A little bit. Not super often, but every once in a while. You got to make sure that you got nice soft skin.
It used to be I would type, you know, like my keyboard's here. This is where I do my script writing in the morning, and I'll look down. And my desk would just be, it looked like that scene in Breakfast Club where she's making the little paintings with the dandruff from her head. And I'd be like, whatever, and brush it aside. I didn't realize it was a problem until geology came into my life, and it's just stopped. So yes, as Lee Sean says there, or Lee Schwan, Ollie's skin is not raw, but I tell you what was the main event of last night's show.
Oh, it was so raw, wasn't it? We almost got there.
Raw.
We almost got there. It was one of the best matches that I've seen on television recently. And that is fully taking into account Bryan Danielson and Minoru Suzuki, which I know is on YouTube, but same thing. it takes into account Brian Danielson, Kenny Omega. Not saying it was better than those matches, but I think it was just maybe a hair or two below. Like, this was a very, very strong main event match. I was very much enjoying this match, and I thought there was a good chance that Bianca Belair was going to win the title. Because I thought that would have been a much better way to get the titles off of the wrong brands and whatnot than what I'm assuming we're going to see next week, which is just like, that belt is my color, and this belt is your color. Want to trade? Which I just don't want to see that. And this would have been a much better way to get around doing that. And
well, it makes the Quizzlemania rounds very difficult when you're trying to work back lineages.
It sure does. Sure does. I can't wait for Survival of the People That Know the Most about what Raw or SmackDown Tag Team Championship reign was when, and then halfway through they switched belts just for the sake of keeping color coordination going. Oh, dear. What a DQ. What a finish.
So what happened here to run you down the sort of bookending main narrative of this episode? Charlotte Flair opens the show. She is annoyed because this is her last night on Raw. She's Raw Women's Champion, and there's no ceremony. Instead, I have to defend my championship against Bianca Belair. And Charlotte, actually, I thought Charlotte's performance here was very good. She shut down a few what chants quite well. She seemed organic, and she had a great line where she said, "You say I'm entitled. Bianca's getting two title shots this week, one now and one, of course, in the triple threat at Crown Jewel." But Belair interrupted. I like Belair, but her sort of promo delivery does come off a bit more WWE scripted than Charlotte. So that's a down mark. But what was more ridiculous, you've seen Charlotte come out in a bodysuit and heels before, right?
I have. Yeah?
Yep. You're familiar with the pattern here? She's going to have to kick off those shoes before she attacks someone.
Why would you ever wear heels in WWE? Like, I get it. They want to add those extra 3 inches to your build height. But come on, you got to kick them off before you get into the inevitable brawl that ends every promo segment.
Well, Charlotte does. And, it's sort of, whenever Charlotte goes to attack someone, it's very obvious because she has to do this. Belair doesn't. So Flair comes at Bianca Belair, no heels now, and Belair, still with her heels, which I looked were massive, she just picks her up into the KOD.
It really is impressive.
Charlotte gets out of it. Yeah.
Like, if the announcers had more of a clue, you'd put that over for like the rest of the show. To be able to do that in heels is like the most impressive thing on this show by a country mile.
There's the famous Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers quote, you know, the sort of musical dancing act from the 30s in Hollywood. And it was Fred Astaire's a good dancer, but hey, Ginger Rogers is doing all of that backwards in heels. So yeah. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Anyway, rest of the show, few promos, blah, blah, blah. We get a main event. And there's been a bit of interaction over the last couple of weeks between Belair and Charlotte, which has been quite nice. But I wouldn't say it's like a big story. That's reserved for the Banks Lynch stuff. But they just go straight into this match like they are doing a payoff for a 3-month feud. And I really felt the intensity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was weird because throughout the show, I thought that a number of the matches had a really hard time hooking the crowd. Maybe this is just because I've basically solely been watching AEW content for the last little while, where all the crowds are just super hot and they never need to worry about getting them into it. But there were a few matches here where I just didn't think they had the crowd to start with. But by the end, they had this crowd. They absolutely had all the people hooked for this match. And like you said, this wasn't like the huge match that Bianca and Becky would have been, or Bianca and Sasha would have been, and everything, just because we haven't had as much interaction between Bianca and Charlotte. But when you look at it on paper, this is still a huge match, and it could have been a huge match with a big title change, and at least a feasible title change that had the people invested. So literally everything but the finish of this match, I thought was done, like, excellently.
Mm. Yeah, so the whole match was really good. Charlotte's busted open. I don't really know where from, actually, but there's brawls on the outside. It goes through multiple commercial breaks. Like you said, the crowd slowly, slowly get wrapped up into this story. Belair is just one insane strength spot after another. Near fall. But then you get, I'm like, there's not long left of this show that I'm watching. Mm-hmm. I can see when the show time expires because I'm not watching it live. And there is a minute 30 left on this legally acquired stream I have. And I'm like, what are they doing here? And then that is reflected in the wrestlers. Both Charlotte, Bianca, and I think the referee as well, kept looking to the corner, which is where the timekeeper guy is, or a producer or an agent. And they're like, now? It was really awkward. And then Charlotte goes outside. She gets a chair and she just hits Bianca in the head. DQ, boring, lame, uninspired. And then Bianca hits Charlotte with the chair in the ring and stands tall, but who cares? And the crowd, I was just watching it being like, why did I care?
Exactly. I was like, why did I get my hopes up? It was so lame. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've been writing a lot of these features for WrestleTalk.com, going through the best matches of each calendar year. And I love talking about Kurt Angle and Steve Austin at SummerSlam 2001, which, in my opinion, had like the best DQ finish WWE's ever done, where you've got a champion that's on the ropes and doesn't want to lose their match, doesn't want to lose this title. And eventually they have to get DQ'd. And it's not a way to extend the story. It's an actual chapter of the story. That
yes.
It played into the finish perfectly. This was just like, okay, we're not giving you a finish. Clunk. It's just lame. My only reaction afterwards was just, come on, man. Come on.
I think I farted.
Yeah. Oh,
just did that. And it's like, you know, in isolation, you're like, well, that's what WWE always does. And you're like, yeah, it is. And they've done it for a very long time because they haven't had any competition. And what we've seen from another company is that when there is competition that do clean finishes, you're like, oh, actually, that is so much better. And it shines such a spotlight on WWE's shortcomings for me, like this finish here, where, like you said, everything is lined up to be very good. And maybe even Bianca doesn't win, although, you know, I don't think Charlotte just winning and beating Bianca would have gone over. I think that would have actually probably been worse because Banks is in the title match at the pay-per-view. But just don't book the freaking match then if you're that much into a corner. So, yes, this is a bad thing that WWE do. And over time, it takes any sort of significance from the actual exciting matches themselves. The wrestlers are fantastic. But again, it's creative decisions overshadowing everything.
Yeah, there was a period last year where every time they had a pay-per-view, I was like, I think Extreme Rules, the horror show at Extreme Rules was a perfect example. There were like three or four four-star matches in a row on that show, but every match had a dumb finish. It was like the eye for an eye, dumb finish. The Sasha Banks and Asuka getting counted out, but Bayley is a referee for some reason finish. Where I was just like, if you just let the people wrestle, this would be a great show. And it was, again, the case on this Raw where there were a few matches that were given time. And I was like, if they just wrestled on this show and got out of their own way, I'd probably really enjoy it. And this was they could have just done a clean finish and it would have been fine. It's like they got close to doing it perfect and then fell back on their old ways again. And that to me is more frustrating. Just, oh.
Yeah, just have the DQ right at the start of the match. It sucks. It's going to annoy me. But at least you don't waste 20 minutes of my time, WWE.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's see what you guys think. Bazo Bank says, the way my entire TL was hoping...
Timeline
was hoping for... Is that common parlance abbreviation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's okay.
I don't go on Twitter because it's horrible. The way my entire timeline was hoping for Bianca and Sasha winning this week so we could get Banks versus Belair 3 at Survivor Series... Instead, we're going to get a lame title swap and Becky Charlotte 3000. They somehow always choose the two worst options. Again, I think Charlotte winning would have actually been the worst option.
Yeah, probably.
We just have Bianca win.
I can't wait to get the next feud of Charlotte and Sasha together for like another 6 months.
Hell yeah. Andrew A. I was at Raw with my brother. His first event since 2010. He is 21 years old. He enjoyed the show, thought the Mansoor match was eh. He thought the main event was good till the DQ. We marked out for Jeff. You can see me on the hard cam with my CM Punk shirt. Yeah.
Wow.
Infiltrate them. Riot DR says, I'm on a first date with the love of my life. Dinner is great. The movie is excellent. She laughs at my jokes. I drive her back home, and as she leans in for that kiss... Her father pulls into the house. That's what Raw did. Sorry for the length. That's fine. That was a good analogy.
Yeah. I'm not sure how a first date with the love of your life quite works out. I don't know how you'd have that much information on a first date, but perhaps sometimes you just know.
It's that classic sort of Hollywood indie trope of the obsessive, creepy stalker guy is a protagonist.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, who's just a lovable, he just loves that girl.
Yeah, he clearly just walked up to her playing bass on stage and Dreamweaver was playing.
Mm.
And you just knew that that's the one.
Dartrain24, I've seen lots of folks talk about how you can't get away with threatening to kill someone in real life, like Goldberg has been. The WWE won't cancel Saudi over someone actually dying. They won't care about some kayfabe ones. Jesus. Hashtag RIP Jamal Khashoggi. Yeah, that's literally what happened.
That's about right, yeah.
Van Twinblade. Knowing everything I know about ratings and demos, I know they are still inaccurate when the final numbers are tallied, because if you watch on YTTV, YouTube TV, or another, we don't have that in this country. That's not another example of me being... past it, or another legal stream, you aren't counted. Also, not every TV is tracked. Hashtag LIW for life. Yes, Van Twinblade. There is there is no perfect way to measure how much a show is being watched in people's homes at the moment. However, because everybody is kind of on the same bad footing in terms of the ratings data, that discrepancy is taken out, if you know what I mean. Like if I stand on some weighted scales and the scales are off by 5 kilograms, it's not going to show me my true weight, but it's going to show me how much weight I gained or lost.
Right.
Because there's, yeah. So everyone's on the same sort of analytical footing. So yes, the story is that AEW and SmackDown were level in one bit. And yeah, I'm sure all those little bits that you're talking about that weren't factored in here and there, it's kind of accounted for.
Yeah. I can't wait for these ratings and everything to just be the talk of the town for the next week.
And finally for now, Mr. Kajili or CJU Lily. Hey guys, just wanted to ask when everyone else gets entrance music now that Ollie has his. I think for when he gets back, Pete needs some as he's champion for now. And Ollie, Alexa's been drafted to Raw. As in your new video, you said she's undrafted. Jam that jam. Oh, she's still on Raw, is she?
Cool.
I bet you, even if that happened, Mr. Kajili, which I'm sure it did, I bet she turns up on SmackDown.
I love how none of the draft goes into effect until next week, but Street Profits are on Raw and all these people are on SmackDown. But it hasn't gone into effect yet. Yeah. Mm. Lord.
You can get your Ultra Chats in to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out everyone over $5 by the end of the episode. And also, if you want to be a super duper, super moisturized Wrestle Talk fan, we should have done a moist TV thing, shouldn't we?
Oh, God. Yeah,
Just realizing this now. Next month, geology, folks. Use our link in the video description below. Go do it now. Tell me what it says to you, because they will do a 30-second free quiz, super easy, super quick to take, and they determine your best bespoke skincare regimen. Now, I got regimen number 30. There it is. Look at all that stuff. Look at all that wonderful science that goes into my face now. That's how you get this boy.
For science.
Science? Science face. I had flaky skin. I have flaky skin here, 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 here. But now, no more. You know what, though? I learned not to put the moisturizer on this bit before I record the news.
Mm.
The rest of it needs it. All of this needs the moisture. This is an oily nightmare.
Oily Davis.
And it is quite a large forehead. And it started to reflect the light that sits on top of the camera.
I don't think your forehead is that big at this point.
Oh, thank you. Well, I cheated and got some extra hairs put on.
Yeah.
But yes, please do go over to Geology. It's a great service. Me and Luke have been using it for a couple of months now. And yeah, totally transformed my face. Hair notwithstanding. That was something else. Let's talk about this whole Raw episode.
I didn't hate it for a while. I was watching it and was into it, and then it just kept going. You know?
I like that. I didn't hate it all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't hate it for a while. Did you enjoy it?
There were parts that I would go so far as to say I enjoyed. Genuinely.
Well, we had the opening Charlotte Flair promo that we've already discussed. I enjoyed the first match. Xavier Woods versus Jinder Mahal. It's the final of like the Raw block of the King of the Ring tournament. And the reason this works so well is because there was a promo beforehand from Woods saying, this is my dream, winning King of the Ring. The commentary team putting over how it's Woods' dream. And there's Jinder Mahal in the ring. Scary super push that could just happen at any moment.
Precisely.
He's a Maharaja. He could be the Maharaja of the ring. And my God, all of that made me on the edge of my seat for this, particularly when Jinder Mahal hit the Coloss.
I thought it was over.
Yeah.
I really thought it was over. And it's weird. It's so weird because I totally get what you're saying and I totally agree. The matches that have me the most invested in WWE, and this dates back like 10 years to like John Cena and CM Punk, where you need your guy on one side and the company guy on the other side. Yeah. And it's the most fear that you can feel that WWE is just going to do the WWE thing. And I was so hoping that they wouldn't do the WWE thing and push Jinder Mahal to the King of the Ring final. And they didn't. And I enjoyed the show for a while because of it. Mm. It really gave me that boost.
Yeah, Woods won. Really like exciting stuff near the end because of exactly what we've spoken about. He'll face Finn Balor in the finals. I'm really looking forward to that match.
Yeah, this Crown Jewel show on paper looks like one of the better pay-per-views that WWE's done all year. Mm-hmm. If it just wasn't in Saudi Arabia with this long, long flight they have to take, everyone's going to be jet lagged. And if this was just a pay-per-view, I'd be really, really excited for it. But I'm not.
Well, also, booking decisions are crazy in the US.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to Saudi Arabia, they must put something in the airplane minibar because stuff goes down in Saudi. Goldberg beats The Fiend for the Universal Championship. Shane McMahon wins a tournament to crown the best wrestler in the world. Undertaker wins a gauntlet match that he wasn't even a part of.
Somehow Shane McMahon's going to win the King of the Ring or something. they'll lose their minds between now and Thursday for sure.
But just out of curiosity, who do you want to win and who do you think will win?
I want Xavier to win because I think that'll be the nice heartwarming they gave the guy the thing that he wanted really badly moment. I think Finn's going to win.
Hmm.
I think they're going to go the Demon King route as opposed to King Xavier.
I think the same, but I don't think either are bad choices. I'm sort of rooting for both guys, which is nice. Mm-hmm. After that, we got Austin Theory from earlier in the day backstage. He's doing an interview. The 24/7 title people run in. He shouts at R-Truth, agreed to a match. They have the match here, but R-Truth's like, it's not actually me. It's Jeff Hardy you're facing, like, sure. And there's the Jeff Hardy arms from Tempest. And Theory won and did the selfie at the end, but Jeff Hardy then laid him out and took his own selfie.
They're really beating the NXT champion Jeff Hardy on television like this. It's unbelievable. You know, it wouldn't be such a problem to me beating Jeff Hardy to get Austin Theory over if they'd done anything to protect Jeff Hardy up to this point. You know, like, maybe I'll get flack for it. Who cares? To compare things to AEW, of course, we don't see Matt Sydal winning a lot of matches on TV, but he wins a lot of matches. You know, he's decently protected in the grand scheme of things. He's like 23-9 before facing CM Punk. So when Punk beats him, it feels like he's beating someone of a bit of note. Jeff Hardy, aside from beating Karrion Kross that one time, ain't done nothing. And that pains me because I love Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's my guy. I wish they'd do a little more with him so that moments like this meant something.
I think he should have been beaten more. He's on the way to SmackDown. Let Austin Theory... I feel like Austin Theory in a month is going to disappear from Raw.
Yeah. And again, if you're going to beat him, don't even have him get the upper hand and leave Theory laying at the end of the segment. Like, I don't need another match between these guys. Just finish it up, have him move on.
After that, Charlotte Flair goes backstage to see Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville just having a normal conversation. Nothing about Deville going crazy with power on Friday's SmackDown here. Just, we're just general managers or not.
Yeah. That show is unrelated to this program. Separate universes.
Then we get Big E. No, not before the season premiere, though, surely.
I don't know. Before or after?
Just do the Jeff Hardy arms again. Yeah.
It all makes sense with Jeff Hardy.
I'm sure it does. He just does the eye thing with his lids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it now. After that, we got Big E and Drew McIntyre. How will they coexist? Taking on Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, those dirty dogs, in a match that we saw 2 weeks ago, finished clean. And we also saw the coexist storyline implode last week. But they're here. They're doing it again. And they worked well together. And they beat Ziggler and Roode. And then they had a tense handshake afterwards. I feel like someone printed out the chapters of this build, and they had week one, week two, and week three, and they've accidentally dropped them and picked them up, and they hadn't done the page numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. And I honestly thought this was maybe the more boring chapter of the ones where they just had a decent little match, but there wasn't anything super engaging to it as far as the play between Big E and Drew and everything. Like, why would they kind of crush their beef before their match?
Mm.
You know, they had this fiery determination between the two, and can they coexist? Well, yeah, they just coexisted. Okay. That seems more like a week one thing than a week three thing.
Yeah. The big brawl last week, the non-coexisting, that was your go-home angle.
Yep.
Bit of a week early. Then we got a Street Profits confrontation with AJ and Amos backstage. Mansoor took on Cedric Alexander, which was a nice little development because Cedric had beaten Ali last week very quickly, and that's what prompted Ali to turn on Mansoor. So Mansoor won really quickly there, which is unfortunate for the Hurt Business. But then Ali came out, cut this awesome promo. He looks great in a suit as well, like he's gone full heel. And Mansoor cut an even better promo back. I'm going to beat you in my hometown because we can't say Saudi Arabia. And I just thought this was one of the better complete things on the show, bar Cedric getting pinned so quickly.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where I saw this match coming together, and I don't particularly have strong feelings about Cedric or Mansoor at the moment, just because they're two very low level guys on the roster. But in order to get me to care about them, you need to do things like this: give one of them a strong win and then a strong promo segment and put them in a match that will probably be good. You keep doing all those things and I will start to care about these guys. And this is more work than they've done to build up a match for Mansoor in Saudi Arabia, as opposed to just, hey, he's wrestling a good worker on the show, come see it. Yay, big pop, guy wins in his hometown. That's been the Mansoor shtick in Saudi Arabia for a long time. And now they've given him a bit of a storyline going into this one. So I really don't have any gripes with this. This was a nice little segment.
Totally agree. Donkeysaurus Rex here has said Mansoor will lose because it is his hometown. I disagree, because most hometowns don't pay for an entire WrestleMania show to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the results would be a bit more fan servicing if they did. After that, we got Bobby Lashley and Goldberg having one of those split screen interviews, kind of like how me and Tempest are doing now. And Goldberg said it was described as a no holds barred interview.
I don't know what that means.
It just felt like a pretty bland interview, actually.
Yeah, I hate these just in general. These splits, you don't even get like the crowd interaction of just having a promo in the ring, or one guy on the stage, one guy in the ring. You don't even get that. You just get the same WWE scripting, but they're doing this instead of having a more organic feel to it.
Controversially, I'm not a big fan of the Mark Henry Rampage thing either. You know,
and it's time for the main event.
Because it's also like the split screen interviews, and I get why they do it. I guess it's something different. It separates Rampage from Dynamite, but I'm never like, oh, this looks great.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Goldberg threatened to kill Lashley again. Lashley explained that's illegal. But yeah, Goldberg said, kill your Thursday.
They're really leaning into this. Like, the first time I thought maybe something just kind of slipped out a little bit. Like, you get really worked up and I'm going to kill you, Bobby Lashley. It's like the storyline now. Like, he's just planning a murder. So what's the end game here? Are we going to write Bobby Lashley off TV with a death for a while?
Because,
or just really under deliver?
When wrestlers start bringing up hair a lot in promos, you're like, okay, well, yeah. Now I want to see hair get shaved off. So when the baby face starts saying, I'm going to kill you, like, just storytelling satisfaction, as immoral and abhorrent as it is, you've got to kill the guy now, at least in kayfabe. So yeah. I don't know how they're going to do this. Do you think they've got a big stunt planned?
If I had to guess, they're going to do all this. They're going to have a normal two-star, no-holds-barred match. Bobby Lashley's going to win, and that'll be it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get no murder. We'll have no
winning.
I don't know. Maybe not Lashley winning, but we'll get a two-star match with a boring finish and no murder. Not even any teased murder. The only thing, maybe Goldberg will botch another jackhammer, and that'll be as close as we'll get to some murder on this show.
Gage has got to get involved somehow. Mm. I think he's actually a weapon. He's actually a machine gun. And Goldberg kills Bobby. After that, we got RK-Bro versus the Street Profits. Autumn was excellent backstage here.
Yeah.
Riddle's still doing, what's the plan? What's the plan? And Randy's like, there is no plan. And Riddle's like, yeah, sure. So Orton just like flies by the seat of his pants and he says, yeah, you know what? There is a plan. We're going to win now. We're going to win on Thursday. You want the smoke? Because they're facing the Street Profits. And Riddle just goes, yeah. And I just the way they looked at each other, I was like,
asking Matt Riddle if he wants the smoke.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, he does.
Orton's got a bit of a documented history as well, with a few.
Of course.
There's a rule named after him.
Yep.
But that
I love
was very
these guys
cute.
Together. Yeah. I love them together. They're great.
They're great, but where they often fail is that they then have to have a match with AJ Styles and Amos. AJ great, Amos can't do anything. So seeing them here with the Street Profits, who are also excellent, I thought this was a really fun match.
I agree. I thought Randy Orton had an excellent hot tag in this match. Mm. Absolutely excellent. Because a lot of the time, you know, Randy Orton might be a little bit low energy in these matches if he's not super engaged. But from what we've been, you know, able to tell, like, he really wants to work with some of these young guys and go out there and just have good, fun matches. And now he's getting a chance to be in there with a young guy in Riddle and in there with the Street Profits. And he got in for the hot tag and he was just going wild and he was super amped up. He hooked his Hangman DDT and the crowd's popping and he's giving it to them. And then we got another lame DQ, but whatever. But yeah. The match itself was really fun. And if we got matches like this every week that were given time and had a clean finish, I'd be very into this show.
Montez Ford, sell. To get from wherever he was before the Drake DDT was amazing. But yeah, really, really fun stuff. But as you said, AJ Styles' music hits. Amos walks out from the back. AJ hits the phenomenal forearm. Yeah, it's a sucky DQ, but at the same time, it was playing off the previous week with the attack from out of nowhere. It was annoying, but it was nowhere near as bad as the DQ in the main event.
Yeah.
And Amos hit the roundhouse kick again. Why?
It's not the best kick, you know? It doesn't look as cool as like the Black Mass or something. Mm. Where it's this super impressive. It's just a big guy doing a kick. It's like, okay.
His tree slam looks better.
Yeah. Be big. You don't need to be big doing something that smaller guys do better than you. Do the thing the smaller guys can't do.
Yeah. It's that baffling WWE thing where they're like, oh, okay, you're a big guy. We can book big guys. Do a 450 splash. You know, it's just I thought WWE, you know how to book the lumbering, immobile monster. Throughout the show, we had a bunch of video packages of people who are coming from SmackDown to Raw. We got Kevin Owens, we got Becky Lynch, we got Seth Rollins. And then we got one for a guy who's already on Raw, but he's getting a bit of a gimmick change. Bearcat Lee is going to claw his way to Raw.
He's a bear now. Rawr. Jesus.
At least he's getting a video package. Alongside, you know, look, you look at the other people who got a video package. Owens, Rollins, Lynch.
That is
fingers crossed.
Real optimism you got there.
Fingers crossed. Shayna Baszler versus Doudrop. I apologize because I said to Laurie last week in my Raw review that the semifinals would be better.
You fool.
I just thought, surely Shayna Baszler, she's the queen of spades, queen's crown. Doudrop's great. They've actually had a storyline that's lasted a couple of weeks. But no, here we got, it went 2-3 minutes and the fin pretty much right away, Shayna gets the Kirifuda clutch locked in. Doudrop's sort of down to one knee. It's back in again. Doudrop falls backwards and she pins Shayna.
Can I just say, I think my least favorite finish, as far as like an actual finish to a match, not a DQ or a count out or whatever, my least favorite finish to a match is, I've got you in a chokehold. Oh, you're pinning me. I can't just let go. Because for a while, it was like the finish of every big Samoa Joe match where he'd get you in the clutch and someone would go up on the ropes, kick themselves back, go over, do the thing. This happens so often. It happens a lot with Shayna too. And I'm just tired. I'm tired of it. I'm ready for a new finish. That being said, you shouldn't be beating Shayna anyway. If she couldn't go to Saudi Arabia, which I don't know is the case, but I've seen a lot of speculation about that, then don't book the match. Don't book the match. Don't book Shayna to lose in the middle of this big push. Because there's certain people where it's like, oh yeah, you're getting a push and you shouldn't be losing for the sake of like wins and losses and all that. But Shayna should be a monster in this division. And it looked like we were going to get a little bit of that back. And now she's losing in like 2 or 3 minutes.
Why couldn't we get a DQ finish here?
Yeah. It's like the ones where they need a DQ finish, they don't do it. And the ones that need a clean finish, they're like, nah, give me a DQ on that one, pal.
So now it's Zelina Vega versus Doudrop in the Queen's Crown Tournament final in Saudi Arabia. I mean, we've seen the last women's match in Saudi Arabia. It's sure momentous, but it's still a little bit, you know, cringy and awkward to watch as someone with Western sensibilities. So, yeah, baggy T-shirts. Get him out the wardrobe. That's so fun. Nikki Cross, sorry, almost a superhero, and Rhea Ripley, who did have her championship belt, welcomed Bianca Belair to Raw. They gave her a little Raw baseball cap. This was terrible.
Yeah. There were a few moments on this show where the WWE scripting really came through and there was nothing to save it. This was one of those moments.
Yeah. Then we had Finn Balor taking on Mace. Mace, he's ready for a big singles push. Got beat by Finn Balor in 2 minutes here.
Sure, it was effective. I don't know that I'd be just feeding the big guy and having him lose either, but it's just whatever. You got to beat somebody on these shows. And at least they give Finn Balor a win before the pay-per-view.
Yeah. I almost wish it was more of a squash, though. You know, I don't care who Finn Balor faces, but this went 2 minutes, and the first minute is Finn Balor getting beaten up. And then Balor does his set of moves, and he finishes very strong. I just want to see shotgun dropkick into the corner, coup de grace. Win. And then he stares down Xavier Woods on the ramp, which was really well done, I thought. I love Balor in this current guise. I hope he does actually get more of a push. That's why I wouldn't mind him winning King of the Ring as well over Woods. But yeah, good showdown, good build to King of the Ring, but could have put Finn over even stronger, I thought.
Yeah, that's just kind of the way the WWE does things. It's like they think you want to see the babyface sell. Got to sell, pal. You're really going to hook those fans. But nah, that's just not the way they do things. I do agree, though. I'm happy with Finn being in this position. You know, if Woods isn't going to win, then Finn was going to be my second choice of the entire bracket. You know, I think he'd be a very good choice. He would get more of a push. It would hopefully rehabilitate him a little bit from that Roman Reigns thing. But if that's the outcome, I'm not going to be super disappointed. Just a little bit. Just a little bit because of Woods. But again, Finn is a fine second choice.
Yeah. And then the main event was the Charlotte versus Bianca match that we've already talked about. So overall, I gave this a 2 out of 5 on my review earlier. I enjoyed a lot of the show, actually, but that finish at the end was just left such a sour taste in my mouth. I marked it down from what could have been a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, it's really tough because if they just got out of their own way, I think this would have been at the very least a 3 out of 5 show. You know, where when you had the main event, which was as good as it was, and then you got the tag match that we enjoyed, but also had a DQ, and then just certain things spread across this whole show that just brought things down a peg. You know, it's a shame. I still might give it a 3 out of 5. Honestly, I really did like that main event up until the finish. I know, positive Tempest is crazy, but wild. Yeah, 3 out of 5. Better than I was expecting.
Thank you for being here on the Raw podcast. But it will be Luke back next Tuesday, live in the studio. Hopefully, potentially, we might be doing it remote because we might be refitting the studio to actually get podcast arms, which don't currently connect to the table because the table we got made with a flimsy Perspex top and it's now starting to snap. So that's why we wear the little lav mics. So we don't know yet, but it will definitely be Luke next week. And that's not all you'll get of Ollie and Luke. You'll also get Wrestle Talk Extra, a long, long, long podcast review for Patreons of Bound for Glory 2007. God damn it.
Reverse Battle Royal. Is that the dumbest match of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is. And also, if you pledge $25 a month or more, you get a shout out on this very show with a wrestling nickname and a little cheap pop. So thank you, Michael Mark for Life Plowman.
Woo! The intellectual savior of the masses, Damien Campbell.
Yeah. Don't impede Scott Peden.
Yeah. Yo, Adrian. Rocky.
Yeah. The name's Jablonski. Daniel C. Jablonski.
Yeah. Not Eugene. Andrew Dinsmore.
Yeah. Eric Baron Happy Corbin.
Yeah. King R.K. Jones.
Yeah. Smash the glass ceiling, C.J. Slatten.
Yeah. The Overstepper, James Nepper.
Yeah. And finally, A Song of Ice Fire 352. Ooh, a Game of Thrones fan. Thank you very much, everybody there. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats before we close out the show. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get them in there. We'll answer every single one over $5. WannaMouse243, watching during work as usual, had to pull my earbuds out and speed walk away from my desk angrily twice. Once when Shayna got pinned and again at the DQ at the end. Friend actually asked, what did Raw do this time? Because this is becoming a common occurrence. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, that just those. Yeah, honestly, you'll have a better time. And those were the two moments that made me have to just take a walk around my house for a minute. But usually, there's more than two moments, so that's pretty good.
69 Intangibles _ Sadie Deegan says, "Hey guys, Tempest, I want to apologize for my Ultra Chat being cut off on Saturday. Apparently, Streamlabs can't handle a heart eyes emoji." Also, it was my birthday, so I may have been drinking, LOL. Bummed Shayna lost, but F me for being excited, I guess, LOL. Hashtag LIW4L. Scott Ollie, much love for you guys. Never Ultra Chatted before, but wanted to show some support for you guys. Random question. What do you think is Vince McMahon's favorite match of all time?
It's probably something really dumb, you know? Like, we could think about, like, oh, it's Hogan and Andre, brother. It's probably something that we'd never think about.
I disagree. I think the answer's quite obvious. He doesn't like wrestling, but he does like himself, and he likes narcissism. So surely it's WrestleMania 17's Shane versus Vince match.
See, I thought that, but he also very clearly hates Shane.
And he gets to beat him up.
Yeah, but then Shane wins. He has to watch himself get beat by Shane.
Eternal Blue, who's been a member 5 months in a row. Wow. Woo. That is a great streak. The streak. The minus ones this week seem like they were quite a factor this week. Dark was fun, though. Not feeling the studio, though. Atmosphere feels dead. Yes, of course, AEW Dark is taped in the old Impact Zone now.
Man, what's Adam Cole doing in the Impact Zone? What's Bryan Danielson going to be doing in the Impact Zone? Those are the guys that are going to be on the show next week or whatever. Might have to watch Dark for that one.
Yeah. Ket. The fact that WWE is in a position to be beaten by AEW in the ratings shows they've been lazy for years. If they actually cared about making a good product over the years, their ratings would be so high that they wouldn't need to worry about AEW. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I said on a recent SmackDown podcast that famous Triple H promo from like 6-7 years ago where he's like, "My friend Mark and I are going to stop watching." And then everyone stopped watching.
They did, Hunter.
They did.
But also get well soon. Yes. I'm sure he's watching.
Of course.
Chris Dudley. Ollie, I really can't understand how people can defend WWE to the point of saying AEW sucks, etc. How, Ollie? Please shed some light on this, please. I absolutely love AEW and don't hate WWE most of the time. But please help me understand WWE diehard's mindset. Well, sometimes when somebody likes something so much and has been watching it for so long, it becomes a part of what they identify as. So any attack on that thing then becomes an attack on themselves ideologically. So I can definitely understand why people do become tribal. I don't agree with it, but I definitely can understand it. 69 Intangibles, Sadie Deegan again. Back again, since y'all didn't do a podcast. What did y'all think of Dynamite? I love the Hangman promo so, so much.
Oh. Yeah, I've been waiting for that Hangman promo for a long time. And I was very happy to see it. I don't remember a lot else that happened on Dynamite, honestly.
The six man.
Yeah, that was fun.
The Bucks, that was really good.
It's like a PWG match. Thinking about that lately.
Oh,
Dynamite is really just PWG on television.
In bits, it's like they've got the PWG side, they've got the Cody comic book side with that Arn Anderson training stuff. Yeah. That's just freaking yeah, they've got variety, and that's one of the most important things. And finally, for now, Nate S. Ollie, for my partner's birthday this past weekend, I took her to an orchard. We just stood there looking at trees most of the time. Not the Apple Watch she was expecting, apparently.
Ollie, have you done that?
No, it's a joke.
I understand. You directed it specifically at you. You seem like the kind of man who would take a loved one to an orchard.
Is that an attempt at an English accent?
An orchard?
How offensive, Tempest. I don't walk around trying to do Australians' accents, do I, mate?
Oh, bruv. It's not very good, innit?
Is that another one?
In it. That one slips out unironically sometimes, I'll be honest.
It's not befitting of an English speaker, innit? You'll be looked down at if you say innit over here.
Innit.
Anyway. Thank you, everybody, ever so much for Oh, and we got the AAA tag team title change.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. I thought they could have... Yeah, if they were going to do something like that, I think it was done well enough. You know? It wasn't quite the Dragon Lee and Dralistico that some people were expecting, but yeah, it was like the Conquistadors.
Yeah. FTR being the Superanas or whatever they were called. It's the Christian Cage of October, I think.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. But yes, thank you everybody for joining us so much today and for all your wonderful Ultra Chats. We'll get through Raw together. It's a season premiere next week, but we've got all the content for you here. We've got Tempest and Laurie doing NXT tomorrow. We've got me and Adam Blompier doing Crown Jewel predictions right after that, and then a Crown Jewel live reactions on Thursday. And then making his return, because he said, I want to do the Saudi show. I know I've just had a kid, but I want to talk about the Saudi Arabia show. It's my favorite place in the world, he said. Big fan of the business practices and relationships. Luke will be making his return with Denise to do a Crown Jewel review on Friday. Watched any good Star Trek lately?
I knew it was coming. I knew halfway through our conversation about G1s and everything, I was like, he didn't ask me about Star Trek. No, I haven't seen much Star Trek lately.
Yourself. Yeah. Not a single Next Gen episode?
No, I spent a whole week off watching The Boys instead of Star Trek, which I don't know if you'll agree with, but I found it to be a good time.
Well, off camera, you told me it was an 8 out of 10 time.
That's good. That's an A. I don't know. I don't
time
know.
Time for 8 out of 10s.
See, I don't know how the schooling, the grading system works in the UK because things are different everywhere. What would what's an 80% for you folk?
What, in terms of TV?
No, in terms of your grading system, like in school, is that like an A, an A, B, like 80% out of 100?
Oh, okay, huh?
I'm trying to assign a letter grade to The Boys.
Well, the way exam marking used to be done in this country was, you'd have all the kids 100% take the test, and then the 20% top kids, they'd get the A. Whereas now, it's more about if you get 80 out of 100 points, you automatically get an A. So there's no longer distributed by meritocracy. It is, it's not proportionally distributed meritocracy anymore. So, you know, now we've got all these snowflakes thinking they're smarter proportionally than they are.
That's very interesting. I never knew that. Mm. I never knew that's how it used to be done over there. That's crazy. Because I know.
Oh, wait till I tell you about the Squid Game thing we've got in schools.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people died.
I'm very interested to hear about that then. But I mean, I know in Canada, the grades are, I guess, more lenient than they are in the United States. It's like every so often, because like our B here is a C for Americans. And really? It's like, yeah, yeah. It hit me the first time. I think I was watching The Simpsons. I was watching like the episode where Bart gets an F and he gets like a 59% on his test and he gets an F. And I was like, what? A 59 is a D plus over here. And then I found out that their F starts at like, you know, up to 60%. And then 60 to 70 is a D. 70 to 80 is a C. 80 to 90 is a B. And then 90 to 100 is an A. And that is just like mind-boggling to me. But it's normal to them.
An F to me is, it's got to be under 30. You can't be getting over halfway and still getting an F.
Yeah, here an F, or we call it an R, because an F is too easy to change. yeah, you get an R on your test if you fail. It's less than 50%. Anything under 50% is a failing grade, but everything above that is D through A. But, man, they're hard asses on those American folk.
What would you give this week's Raw? No. What would you give, because we would have just done this in the actual main show, what would you give Raw 2021 in a Canadian scoring system?
Ooh, a Canadian scoring system.
So it's out of 100, and then you'll give me the letter.
Out of 100 pints of maple syrup. Raw 2021, it's bad. It's really bad. You know, it's so difficult to me because I try and mark these things in my head based off of like the rest of wrestling. So it still hasn't gotten to the depths of like the Vince Russo 2000 WCW. So I can't say it's like the worst thing I've ever seen. But I also don't think I can give Raw 2021 a passing grade. You know, they don't do enough right in order to get a decent grade. At the very best, I think this show is like a D. Like somewhere in the 50 to 60 range there. Because I don't think it's any higher than that. But they do have good things every once in a while. And we saw a few of them on this week's show, which we've already talked about. But we've seen enough of them where I was like, okay, yeah, good moment there. Big E won the WWE Championship. That was cool. We get good matches every once in a while. That's great. But the rest of the show is just so bad.
And there's so much of it.
There's so much of it. This show is 2 hours. Yeah, I'd bump it up to a C. I think this would be a solid C show. Like, I think SmackDown's a C, but Raw is a D because it's an hour longer.
And AEW Dynamite.
That is an A or A plus. I think for 2021, I'd say an A. I'd say since they went back on the road, it's been an A plus.
Yeah, well put. Well, I'm sure that will go down very well with our very objectively calm listenership. Spread the love, people. But for now, that's all we've got time for. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast from to the Wrestle Talk podcast. Luke is back on Thursday, but there's no AEW to talk about. So instead, you've got Tempest and Laurie tomorrow doing NXT. You've got me and Adam doing Crown Jewel live reactions. Well, that'll be fun. And Luke makes his return to talk about Crown Jewel. It's what he wanted. He said, I'm not missing that Saudi show on Friday with Denise. But for now, I've been Ollie. That's been Tempest. Jam that jam.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.